Have you ever had an out-of-body experience? Have you ever traveled and things just seemed familiar? You knew things that you shouldn't have known. Well, today we're going to talk about what? Past life experience, out-of-body travel, the fifth dimension. No, not the music group. And psychic powers. How does it all connect? Well, today we have a very special guest, Dr. Bruce Goldberg, author, hypnotherapist, talking about some of his books, Exploring the Fifth Dimension, Unleashing Your Psychic Powers, Past Lives, Future Lives Revealed. And guess what? A very special guest co-host. I'm excited to say we have the one and only psychic medium, Colby Rebel, is with us today. So please welcome to the Truth Be Told Studios, Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Hello, hello.
I feel like I'm at an MLB baseball game.
That's right.
Somebody in the audience there. And
home run. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show. I'm excited to have you here.
My pleasure. I love to do my communication with the public, with my my moon in Gemini. So therefore, communication is a big part of my astrological background here. We're talking about reincarnation. So basically, what we're talking about is the idea that everybody has a soul, subconscious mind.
Right.
It's electromagnetic radiation, if you want to be scientific. It occupies the physical body for a certain period of time. And then when you cross into spirit or clinically die, it goes into a very complicated cycle. And then it reincarnates into a new body. So everybody's had past lives. My experience since about 47 years of doing this is that the average person walking the streets today has about 1,000 past lives. That really isn't impressive, because you want to get out of the karmic cycle as quickly as possible. The problem is people tend the tendency to make mistakes and to repeat mistakes. So basically, let's talk about the time concept very simply. Think of yourself as you're in a helicopter above the freeway, and there's a car directly below you. We'll call that the present. This car has a cell phone connecting to the helicopter so you can talk.
Right.
5 miles behind the car on the freeway, there's a car that is, we're going to call that the past. And that car cannot see the car in the present because 5 miles is too far on the freeway. 5 miles in front of the car, there's another car, and that's the future. So you, from the perspective of the helicopter, can perceive all past, present, and future events simultaneously, where each of the cars are limited in their physical spectrum as to what they can perceive. So this is basically quantum physics, or
right,
quantum mechanics. This is the fifth dimension. So when you go into a hypnotic level, which is the mechanism I use to help people perceive their past, present, parallel, and future lives, you are actually leaving the body. Your soul enters into the fifth dimension, where you now enter the space-time continuum. And the term space-time continuum comes from Einstein's theory of relativity. This is hard science. This is not woo-woo, airy-fairy.com. This is real science, okay? So just make it clear for the public out there.
Right.
Now, as far as the idea of, does everybody have past lives? Yes, we have like 1,000 of them. So let me give you an example of a classic past life experience of someone everybody knows out there. Okay, this isn't like the Cheers bar, but everybody knows this person's name. Jerry Springer. I had the pleasure of interviewing with Jerry many years ago on the show. And as part of the show, they said, let's go into the green room, you know, before the show. And I want you to do a regression with Jerry, and we can, you know, play that on the show and this and that. By the way, those of your listeners, if they go to my website, drbrucegoldberg.com, I see the Chiron there, and they go to my YouTube click link, they can perceive of about 40 different videos. One of them is Jerry Springer's past life.
Great.
So he was in England around 500 years ago, 400 plus years ago, as a knight. His name was John, and him and his merry band of men were patrolling the countryside of Londinium. And they see this woman, damsel in distress, being attacked by a bunch of marauders. And they outnumbered Jerry's men. So in the old days, if you're dealing with a sword fight, and the people outnumber you, you usually lose.
Right.
Jerry was severely wounded while defending the honor of this woman. He wasn't killed, but he was very severely wounded. The guys left, and the woman who lived not far from that location in a castle, she was like a princess or whatever, noblewoman, whatever. She took him into the castle and said, look, you know, you're very seriously wounded. You can't be a knight anymore. So she extended his life by allowing him to stay in the castle. Okay. Now, at the end of that life, I do what I call a super conscious mind tap, where I ask Jerry, what was, if you know that woman who you, whose life you saved and who extended your life in your current life as Jerry Springer, who is she? And he said, it's his current life daughter, Kirsty. So here are karmic family values with Jerry. Okay.
Right.
Now, all they wanted was me to do was do the regression. But I said, oh, no, no, no. I'm from New York. I have a different attitude. Okay. New York City specifically. So I said, let's go into a future life. So Jerry goes, okay, I'm game. By the way, Jerry was very skeptical before I did this.
I'm sure he was.
Skepticism doesn't make a difference. So I took him into a future life about 100 plus years from now. He's a farmer from Montana. His name is Bobby, Montana Bobby, we call him. And he's taking foodstuff to the moon on a farm that he controls up there. And he makes these sorties back and forth. One fine day, making a sortie back to the Earth from the moon, his ship or his capsule lands into the ocean and he drowns. Now, why is that relevant? Because in his current life as Jerry Springer, he has a fear of heights and water. Huh. And the origin is not from a past life, but from a future life. So that's Jerry Springer's karmic cycle.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. I mean, because when I did my past life regression, like I said, I was very skeptical. And because I'm like, I'm too ADD. There's just no way. There's no way you can make this mind calm down and focus on anything other than just, you know, my grocery list and my everything else I had to do for the day. But when I started having visions and starting coming up with names, and I actually even, and I'm going to ask you a question about this, about when people come up with names that are actually in the history books that I would have never known who that was.
Okay, so let me give you a classic example. This is something that many viewers and listeners would know of. First of all, I was skeptical in my last life too, so I can relate to that. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, okay, that's a joke. Okay. So let me give you my famous case. This is a case. I wrote a book called The Search for Grace. This is about a woman who lived in Buffalo, New York in 1927. Her name was Grace Doves. Now, my patient, of course, is illustrating or regressing back to this past life.
Right.
She died in Buffalo, New York on May 17th, 1927, violently. She was murdered by the guy she was dating who was cheating on her husband, and this was a mafia bootlegger, so this is a pretty complicated case. However, the name of Grace Doves, which she gave me, plus she gave me her husband's name, the details of where she lived in Buffalo, where her husband worked, all kinds of names and places. At the end of the regression, I said, you know, this is interesting. I'm going to see if I can check this out. So I had a researcher go to Buffalo, and they found out a newspaper article that was published, which shows Grace Doves being murdered on May 17th, 1927 in Buffalo, New York. Now, the newspaper article, there's about 24 facts that the woman gave me in trance. The newspaper article had maybe about a dozen of them. She gave me a lot more. But most importantly, this is critical. By the way, this was aired as a CBS movie. Okay.
Right.
And I was on the 11 o'clock news talking about it afterwards. So some of your listeners may have or viewers may have seen that. Okay. So here's the difference. They asked her, the reporters reported her as being 30 years old when she was murdered, the date of her murder.
Right.
And the name of her son, she had a son. They said the son was Chester Jr., Chester being the husband. The woman in trance, I call her Ivy, not her real name, she told me that she was, I asked her, I said, how old are you at the time of your murder? She goes, I am 32 years old, not looking forward to my 33rd birthday. Okay, got that? Yeah. And she says the name of her son was Cliff. Now, here's the difference. I live in California where you could find out Ronald Reagan's pinky size if you want. Everything is public. In New York State, you have to go through the governor's office and get permission. You have to have a paper trail to get any information from birth or death certificate, unless you're a family member. This woman, of course, had nothing to do with Grace Doves' background. As it turns out, going through the health records, which I didn't, but the researcher did, CBS's researcher, okay, they found out that the woman was born, was 32 years and 4 months old at the time of her murder, and the name of her son was Clifford C. Doves. The C probably stood for Chester, mm-hmm. but everybody called him Cliff. I spoke to the grandchildren when this movie was aired. And they all confirmed, yes, that was Uncle Cliff or Grandpa Cliff, okay? So the point is the reporters were all wrong. There were four newspapers at the time. That was only one, the Buffalo Evening News. They were all wrong because they all copied each other, because you know how reporters cannot be really conscientious, right. Speaking of ADD, okay? she was right. So this was one of the most documented cases of the last century. Names, place, and dates, everything documented. If your listeners or viewers are interested, my book, The Search for Grace, is available. They can get it from my site or Amazon or whatever, and they can see all the details. I've got the birth certificate, death certificate, all the documentation in there. So this is a real case. Now, most cases of regression and even obviously progression, you have to be very patient to watch those things come through, okay, especially future life progressions. Right. Most of them don't give you enough details, or they do, like you're you're living in Rome and maybe you're a peasant farmer somewhere, and who's going to have records of that? Okay. They don't. You're never going to get those. But this was a documented case, a relatively recent one, you know, and documented by the network at CBS. They do their homework. Right. So that's an example of that. Now, progression is even more fun because I developed a technique. Now you have to understand, back in 1982, my first book, Past Lives, Future Lives, is the first book ever written on future life progression. Hmm. I'm not the only one in the world who's ever done a future life progression, I'm sure, but nobody ever documented it except for me. Now, people have copied me, that's fine, but you go back in time, 1982, you know, got it? Okay. So in dealing with progression now, let's talk about age progression first. So I developed a technique of taking people into the future of this life. So Colby, you may be able to relate to this. There was a case that I did in 1997 of a woman. I call her Tammy, not her real name. She comes to me from New York City to Los Angeles, because now I relocated to Los Angeles many years ago. And she wanted to go out of the body, and she saw my Search for Grace movie. So she knew who I was. And she goes, okay, I can work with you. I do out-of-body experience training. So I take her going into the future, and she goes into the future just by a couple of days while she's in L.A., and she perceives events that occur during the week that she was in Los Angeles. In other words, she had a good track record. She perceived four or five things that occurred, meeting some guy with a tie-dye T-shirt, going to the beach, whatever. But these are specific things that she had no control over. So now she goes home, and she just graduated from college, and now she goes home, and she's going to this is early June. I believe this was 1996, not 97. And she goes home, and then at the end of the month, she calls me up, and she goes, Doctor, this is Tammy. I have an emergency. Can you help me? And I said, Tammy, I retired from dentistry to get out of that. What's going on? And she said, I use your techniques and your CDs. By the way, I make CDs so people can do this themselves. And I went into the future to see how my trip to Paris is going to be, because she's going to spend the last half of the summer with her friends, some of her college buddies, and then go to graduate school. You know, that's a pretty common scenario, right? So I said, okay, so what's going on, Tammy? What's the emergency? And she said, well, I played your CDs here. I see myself taking off from JFK. The plane goes up in the air, immediately crash. I die. Everybody dies. Oh, what do I do? And I said, Tammy, I don't want to run your life. I believe in psychic empowerment, as I call that. Why don't you just, you haven't booked a trip yet. Why don't you just change your flight plans and call me at the end of the summer? So she goes, oh, okay. So she's a millennial, okay? Right. So at the end of the summer, it's the end of August now, I'm at my swimming pool having a nice swim. I have my cell phone there. And Tammy calls me. She goes, Doctor, this is Tammy. I just want you to know that I just want to update you. And I said, okay, what's up? And she told me something I never want a patient to ever tell me. She goes, you saved my life. And I said, no, I didn't save your life. I'm not God. What's going on? She was going to go on TWA flight 800, July 17th, 1996. The flight left off JFK, went up in the air, immediately crashed. Everybody died. 230 right. people died. She would have been 231. But she wasn't, not because of me, because her higher self, the perfect part of the soul, which actually monitors your life, is what saved her life. So that's an example of age progression. Now, future life progression, I gave you Jerry Springer's case. but there's also, I want to show a future life progression which illustrates the concept of parallel lives. So I work with this gentleman. He was a psychologist, a very neurotic psychologist, okay? I'm not trying to make fun of him, but I'm being factual. Nobody knows his name, and I'm not going to share his real name. So he has a hand-washing compulsion. In other words, if you go into his office and you shake his hand to say, hi, doctor, my name is so-and-so, I'm your new patient, he would immediately wash his hands. He would wash his hands 50 times a day.
Oh, wow.
This is well before COVID, okay? So this guy had a very, you know, obsession, OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. So now he comes to me, he wants to get rid of it. And we're going into various past lives where he's had horrendous past lives where he's involved in all kinds of issues. You say, are these related to it? The answer is no, because nothing helped him. So then I said, let's go to the true origin of your issue. He says, okay. He goes into 100 years from now in the year 2088, and he's a technician in a nuclear power plant in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Very neurotic, very high strung, and he's on night duty, like overnight. And one fine day, he freaks out, puts all the little levers on meltdown, and he causes a meltdown of Tulsa, Oklahoma, where he dies, and everybody in the plant dies, and a lot of people in Tulsa, Oklahoma, dies. Now, remember, he's a nuclear technician, okay? Right. So now he says, doctor, he says, this is not good. How is that going to help me? I said, well, that's one parallel universe. We're going to switch tracks now and go into the other parallel universes you have. Everybody's got parallel lives here. So he goes into his ideal frequency, as I call this. A frequency means a parallel life. And he's now in the same time period, except he's a nuclear physicist, not a technician, psychologically stable, looks the same people in his life. He's working at the same nuclear power plant, except that now he's a physicist rather than a technician, psychologically stable. And on the date of August 8th, 2088, there's a lot of eights here. Everything is fine, no meltdown. And the Tulsa, Oklahoma is a good place to buy real estate in 100 years. Okay. So that's the idea of a future life progression with a parallel universe switch. So I call this my new you technique, where if you don't like your life right now, I do not recommend just biting the bullet, and I definitely don't recommend suicide. What I recommend is you perceive your other universes and you can switch tracks. Now, back in 1994, when I was working with the CBS, the producers on the Search for Grace movie, for some reason, that movie was not going to air. It was in what we call developmental hell in Los Angeles. And the writer, who's a good friend of mine, I was a consultant, of course, he was panicking because, you know, he wants to get paid and they don't pay you a lot unless the movie airs.
Right.
So he said, doctor, they're not going to air the movie. And I said, don't worry, Alex, that's his first name, I will fix it. He goes, the network doesn't want to deal with you. And I said, I don't deal with those energy vampires, but I'm going to use one of my magical techniques and everything is going to work out nicely. So what I did was my new you technique. I perceived my own future parallel universes. The one I was on didn't show the movie airing. It didn't air. But the one that I'm on now, it did. So I practiced what I preached, used my own techniques, and now I am in a parallel universe that I wasn't on 26 years ago. Now you say, how do you know this is just fantasy? Because there were many things over the last 26 years that I perceived that came true. People I would know, personal relationships, professional situations. For example, I'll give you one cute thing. Your listeners probably, or viewers probably know who George Norrie is.
From Of course.
Okay. So at that time in 1994, I didn't know who George Norrie was. He was, I believe, in St. Louis doing his Nighthawk show. I didn't know who he was because unless I interview with a host, I won't know who they are. Okay. So I was with Art Bell. Art Bell developed the
Coast. Right?
So I'm doing interviews with Art. Now, remember, that's 94. So now I'm going into the future and beyond the year 2000, and I see this guy who looks like a Greek fisherman, I call him. I don't know who this guy is. And I'm doing interviews with him on Coast to Coast. And I said, this is really weird. Well, in 2003, George Norrie and I had our first interview, and I've been interviewing with him for the last 18 years.
That's great.
Because of that. So that's an example of one of the many dozens and dozens of facts that were corroborated by using my techniques. So that's how accurate it could be. By the way, for the benefit of your viewers here, every month I do a webinar with hypnosis on different techniques. My next one is going to be on December 13th on dream therapy, but I do all kinds of fun things, spirit guide, contact, time travel, smart future, out-of-body experiences. So if they go to my homepage, they can see the current webinar listing there, as well as information on all my books and CDs and DVDs, and also the Exploring the Fifth Dimension book, which is my most recent book and my most popular one these days. If they order it, this deals with teleportation, parallel universes, and out-of-body experiences. If they order the book from my site and they mention the show, I will give them a free CD about going into the fifth dimension.
Oh, nice. Well, thank you very much for that.
So if they do that, now only if they mention the offer, okay? If they mention the show and the offer, then they get it. If they buy the book on Amazon or any place else, they won't get the free CD.
Right. They won't get it. So go to the site. Well, I'm gonna ask you this, because when you're talking about parallel universes, and Colby, I want you to jump in here also. When we talk about parallel universe, and, you know, truth be told, we touch on, you know, a lot of paranormal stuff, ghosts, you know, UFOs. Yeah. Now, when you've worked with a lot of your clients, has anybody ever had off-world past lives, or is it mostly on the planet Earth?
Okay, so you're asking, are they an extraterrestrial in a past life?
Yeah, is that possible?
And the answer is yes. First, let me use a term. Let me define the term for your audience. When you go out of the body into the fifth dimension, which, by the way, you do every night when you go into your dream cycle, your REM cycle, every night you're actually in dreams for 3 hours a night. Nobody remembers 3 hours, including me, but this is documented by neurology and medical research since the 1950s. But the metaphysical aspect of this is you're actually entering into the fifth dimension. Your soul leaves the body, occupies the spiritual body, let's say the astral body, to go through the astral plane. It leaves a clone of itself, so that your physical body is protected, so you're not going to be possessed.
Right.
And when you travel into the fifth dimension, the term that I want to define is called, you are an ultra-terrestrial. That's the term that I coined many years ago. Now, in answer to your question, I'm not trying to avoid your question. I have not done many of these, but I have done experiences where people were Pleiadians or Zeta Reticuli, past lives.
Right.
And even future lives, okay? Because we all have extraterrestrial genetics. You know, this planet has been seeded more than Forest Lawn, okay? So, you know, I understand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Forest Lawn, right down the street from where I'm work.
Bruce, I have a question. What made you so passionate about time travel, past lives, future lives? Like, what happened that you said, oh, my gosh, this is my calling?
Okay, me passionate? Are you kidding?
We can't tell.
Just a smidge.
First of all, I'm a New Yorker, so we're always passionate. Okay, I'll tell you my epiphany. Here's my epiphany. Okay, this is a little detail, so bear with me. Okay, this is not going to take 2 seconds. In 1969, I was a junior in college. It was February. The Jets had just won the Super Bowl, for those of you that remember. Okay. The greatest sports upset in like a zillion years. And I'm going back to New Haven, Connecticut for college, okay? And the weather report, I always check the weather report because this is New York, not California, right? And there, it's snowing. There's a light dusting. So I listen to the weather report, which is not going to stop me from going to New Haven anyway, but I just want to hear what's going on. It says there's going to be a light dusting report and everything is okay, just to let you know, right? Well, I get on the road and I'm driving. What I didn't realize is that it was the biggest snowstorm in 100 years in New York City. The weather guys were all wrong, okay? Well, meanwhile, my car, as I'm driving by the Bronx, trying to go on the New England thruway there, my car gets thrown into a drift. I can't go anywhere. So I try to dig my car out. Now I'm soaking wet. There's nobody on the road. This is like an emergency. And I'm frozen. I am soaking wet. I am going to get hypothermia. I am going to die, okay? I could stay in my car, but the car will eventually run out of gas. I could put the heat on, but eventually I'm toast. So now I figure, what am I going to do? Now here's where the epiphany comes in. I am a very psychologically stable person, so please do not think I'm being crazy here, okay? I'm outside my car. I've got my little snow shelf, you know, and I hear a voice in my head. It sounds like a Greek siren, and it says, put the shovel in the trunk, walk 45-degree angles, and just follow my voice. I figure, well, I'm going to die anyway. I'm also dying. So I do that. I'm walking on a 45-degree. You know, in a deep snowstorm, you can't see. It's snow blind.
Right.
You can't see anything. All you see is white, okay? It's a white privilege here, okay? Right? All right. So so I'm walking 45-degree angle, and all of a sudden, I see a neon sign. This is several minutes later, right? And it says Tardee's. Now, not Sardee's, the famous restaurant in Manhattan. Tardee's is a catering place in the Bronx. I don't know this place, right? I figure, okay, there's a building there. Now, let me show you where I'm coming from. I'm going to die. Okay, so I figure I'm going to break into this place and just get some shelter. If they arrest me, put me in jail. I don't care. But I'm not going to freeze to death just for posterity. So I put my hand on the door. It's unlocked. I walk in. The place is heated. There are lights on. I figure, wow, I'm going to survive, right? Wait till the snowstorm ends. Well, a woman comes out of one of the rooms. She's like a secretary. She goes, oh, young man, what's going on here? Why don't you go into the other room and dry your clothes out? I'll prepare you something to eat. This is a catering place. So my life was saved. Obviously, that woman helped me. But the voice is what saved me, right? Now we fast forward. That's 1969. I eventually go back to school, get my car back 3 weeks later, blah, blah, blah. Now we fast forward into 1972. It's the summertime. I'm now a sophomore in dental school, and this is my summer vacation. I'm staying in Baltimore, Maryland, where I went to school. And I'm working as a security guard, right? And I'm working like double shifts to try to get some income to pay my bills. So now it's like a Saturday afternoon. I come back from this shift. I'm just really dead tired. I live in this little row house, and I just plopped on the couch in my uniform now, and I just want to take a nap. I've been working for like, I've been up for like 20 hours. So about 5 minutes into my nap, I hear the same voice that I heard in 1969. Okay, it said, go to the Aquarian Age bookstore downtown. Now, my apartment was only 5 miles from downtown. I figured, leave me alone. I'm tired. I mean, I just want to get some sleep. But I said to myself, wait a minute, loyalty. This woman saved my life. Whatever this voice is, I owe it, right? So I think, okay, I get up. I don't change my clothes. I'm still wearing my rent-a-cop uniform, you know? And I go to the Aquarian Age bookstore. I don't know what I'm doing there. This is a very old classic building in Baltimore. It was a speakeasy in the 1920s. Really cool building. You know, you could smell the wood, you know, like
right.
This. Set of words, you know, and all this kind of stuff. So I walk in there, high ceilings, you know. I don't know what I'm doing. So I walk in there, and I figure, well, the universe is going to somehow help me. So this woman dressed as a Greek goddess with this, like, blonde hair with her hair turned up, wearing a toga, at the very end of the hallway of this a bookstore, she comes up to me. I don't know who this woman is. She goes, I have been waiting for you. And I looked at her, and I said, well, I've been waiting for you all my life. Who are you? What's going on here? And she goes, I want you to come back to the shelves here. I have a book for you. By the way, this is the same voice that I heard in 1969. Got it? Right? So I said, okay. So she's about 6.5 feet tall. She reaches up and she pulls down the book. The book is The Search for Bridie Murphy, about a documented case of past life regression in Pueblo, Colorado in the early 1950s, 1952 to 1953. So this book literally changed my life. I read the book, obviously got the book, read it. And that was when I decided I always wanted to use hypnosis for dental purposes, for apprehension, pain control, medical uses. But this is what literally gave me the orientation to make this a profession. So then about a year or two later, I'm practicing on one of my dear friends, doing some past life regression experience. This woman who I don't know very well, she goes back into about 10 different lives, and she overcomes two habits and a phobia that I didn't even know that she had because I didn't know her very well. And that got me to be clinically oriented. And then, as they say, the rest is history.
I remember my mother tried to do hypnotherapy to quit smoking, and it didn't work. Now, being a skeptic on certain things and being proven wrong, or that it does work, but how willing does the person have to be for the hypnotherapy to actually work?
Okay, you have to have internal motivation. Let me tell you the problem. She went to probably some clinic or some business guy who probably does a stage act in Las Vegas. That's the problem.
She
didn't go to a real professional. And even if you do go, there are psychologists, not many, and there are some psychiatrists, definitely not many, that do this, okay? The problem is they're using direct suggestion. These are behavioral modification. You're not going to solve the problem.
Right.
When I deal with a patient, I always deal with accessing the higher self, the superconscious mind, the perfect part of the soul, which is the cause of the issue. So I'm dealing with cause removal. So let me just, since you're doing the show, let me give you an example. I was in Burbank on one of these FM radio shows. You know how they do that little, they do interviews in the morning, you know,
right.
They're not
the morning show.
Okay. So this guy says to me, and I did a past life regression and a future life regression on one of the producers, right? Okay, fine. Everything was fine. Guy was doing a show. And he says, doctor, he says, this is great. But I got to tell you, a couple of weeks ago, we had one of your colleagues on here. And I said, when I hear the word colleague, right away, I am a bit skeptical. Because I know it's not true, right? So I said, well, who is this colleague? He says, well, this is a guy. He does hypnosis for smoking and this and that. But he does a stage act, right? He goes to Vegas and this and that. But then he has a website and it says, if you want to stop smoking or overcome an overeating, call this number. But if you want to meet perform at your next party, call this number. Now, do you see why some people might be a little bit skeptical
right.
about the credibility of this hawking, hacking business, entertainer trying to be a therapist? Okay, you understand? Got the
right.
hint?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So anyway, when you deal with cause removal, which is what I do, and again, most of hypnosis is behavioral mod. you may get a result. The person may stop smoking, but they're going to gain 20 pounds. So that's not a good solution. You want to deal with the cause removal. And you want to also increase the frequency, vibrational weight of the soul's energy so you can help them improve spiritually. You can help them move towards ascension, which is the only reason why we're here. You can help them contact spirit guides. You can help them go out of the body. They can meet time travels from our future. That's another book of mine, by the way, a very heavy one, which tells people how they can access people from our future that come back in time and actually interact with us. Where do you think our technology comes from? If you think it comes from the government, forget it. It comes from extraterrestrials and time travels from our future. And I document that in my Time Travels from Our Future book and my Egypt book in detail.
All right. So, do you have a question, Colby?
Well, I wanted to see if he has any books in the works. Like, what's you've written 21, I believe you
I know.
Said.
22.
20. I was just going to say, so what is in the works? Like, what are you percolating on currently?
Okay, so there is a book that I have in the works. I can have it come out anytime I want to, but right now I'm much more focused on marketing my other 21 books. The book that I have that I could get out anytime I want, I could get out within a few months, but I'm going to wait on it, is about people who prognosticate the future, like the Nostradamuses. Of course, my work is too, but I'm dealing with many other people that are, and I title it Visionaries of the Future. And so eventually that book will come out, but not yet. I still want to, exploring the fifth dimension is still my main baby these days. And I do most of my interviews on that particular book, but that is percolating. It's in my, it's with right next to my coffee maker.
All right. So you said you read a book that changed your life that was from like the 50s. Right. But here's my thing. If almost every single person on this planet, there's 7.8 billion people on this planet that's had, you know, 1,000 lives before this one. So if there was no one like yourself, because like you said, Colby is a very talented psychic medium, and Dr. Bruce here he wrote a book, Unleashing Your Psychic Powers. But before hypnotherapy, if I have 1,000 lives and every single life I've had some type, or at least 500, I've had trauma. And as you know, with trauma, we build walls. We build,
We call them blocks. They're therapeutic blocks.
Okay. Well, let's say 500, 800 blocks. That's a lot of blocks to get through. How does we get in this life? I come to you. How do I release block by block? Because 800 blocks is going to be a lot to get through.
Let me answer your question. There's one thing you didn't ask, which is a bigger pick question.
Okay.
The answer is you release the blocks because the higher self can raise the frequency vibrational rate. Think of it as an energy immune system.
Okay.
If your immune system is too low, you catch a cold. If your immune system is great and somebody sneezes in front of you, you don't get a cold. The viruses can't take over cells. So that's how the higher self can actually raise the quality, not the quantity, the frequency, vibrational rate, or the quality of the soul's energy. But the great question you should ask, if there were only a couple of, maybe 20 million people around 2,000 years ago, and how come there are 7 billion people
right.
plus 7.5 billion people, and we know there are no new souls. So how do you answer it? Well, I just happen to have the answer right here.
I'm ready.
Okay. Can you see this here? Let me see if
Is it Legos? Oh, no.
Let me go to the
single shot. It'll be easier to see. There we go.
All right. So let me just
go to your right.
Okay, I have to go to my
there.
Right here. Okay.
Right there.
So
that's
let's
perfect.
Call this here the oversoul. Mm-hmm. See the top one?
Right.
Okay, it's hard to do this here. Okay. That's the oversoul. The oversoul can split into three different souls. See how it splits?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Each of the three subsouls splits into three more. Okay, so if you do this generation split, one oversoul in 13 generations would inhabit more than 1.5 million bodies.
Wow.
That's called a mathematical permutation. That's how we have 7.5, whatever the billion people are, versus maybe 20 million people. By the way, it wouldn't take that long to do that. 13 generations is only 400 years.
It's like a family tree.
Yes, it's like a dysfunctional family tree.
Well, I'm going to ask Colby real quick, and because I want to talk about the psychic powers. Colby, when you do a lot of readings, I mean, I'm sure people ask, you know, past lives or past stuff. Do you see a lot of connection between not only just like people in a family, but, you know, we're reaching, like you said, 13 generations of what he's talking about when it comes to past lives?
Well, there are past life regressionists, and that's their modality. That's their specialty. So when I work, sometimes a past life will come in, but it's more like what Dr. Bruce was mentioning, how he tunes into the higher self of his patient or client.
Right.
He tunes into the higher self to say, hey, what's the core here? What, you know, what is the core issue? So for me, it's very similar in that way, just accessing the psychic faculty, but the higher self of someone.
Not only that, but when you do the superconscious, I call this a superconscious mind tap. It's a technique I developed in 1977, so it goes back a long time. When you do that, you can increase your psychic abilities. You can find out karmic ties. You can do a scan, as I call this, a superconscious mind scan, where you can perceive, well, who is so-and-so in lives? And you can find out a bunch of them, because there is a group karmic aspect here, which I'm sure you're well aware of, where your cousin, your brother, your wife, your husband, whatever, have been with you in many lives. In different roles. So there's no such thing as karmic incest. So if your mother in the past life is your wife now, or vice versa, whatever, there's nothing wrong with that. They will take different roles. The key issue here is karmic tests. So let me give you my philosophy about it. Let me give you my Dr. Bruce Goldberg philosophy 101 that I tell my patients. If you are in a situation where you're having a problem with somebody, somebody's trying to victimize you, happens a lot, and you can't win the game. In other words, no matter what you do, you're not going to be able to correct this. You're not going to be able to change the other person. What do you do? Do you just give up and walk away? Or do you put your head down like a linebacker, or should I say a halfback, and drive forward? The answer is plan B. You go for it. You say, well, what's the point? You can't win the game. Because you want to send out the energy to the universe that you don't need to be victimized. Hmm. What really counts is the energy to the universe. That's critical. If you want to meet a soulmate, somebody who you can have a great relationship with, fine, send the energy out. The universe will cooperate as long as you're being cool. But if you just say, I don't want to do it, if you're passive or passive aggressive is the other terms that we use, then you're going to lose. So basically, you always go for it. I use the term confrontation versus argument. You don't want to argue with people. You just get aggressive and people just hate you anyway and they want to beat you up. But a confrontation is when you protect yourself from being victimized first, and then you try to get the person to behave and to get their act together. You may not succeed. Most of the times you won't. But now you're sending the energy out to the universe. You see, I got it. I don't need to have this aggravation and this, shall we say, victimization test. I passed it. Let's move on. So that would be my advice to your viewers out there.
That's great advice. All right. So we know the books. They're like babies for you. They're like children. Do you have like your... Can you pick what is your absolute favorite? Just what was your personal favorite to write and why?
Well, okay. So there are two books that are my favorite.
They're twinsies, huh?
Moon and Gemini, that's the twin sign. Right?
There you go.
All right, so Past Lives, Future Lives Revealed would be there. That was an upgraded version of my original 1982 book. Past Lives, Future Lives Revealed is my favorite on one level because it deals with regression, progression. I have a case of time travelers in there too. One of my patients had a future life or will have a future life as a time traveler. That's the only time I've ever done that. So that obviously is, and of course I go into the superconscious mind tap in detail. Now the other one is, of course, is exploring the fifth dimension. The reason being is because what people really like, my patients and my fans here, they really like to go out of the body. It's perfectly safe. And teleportation is a biggie there too, as well as parallel universes, the new you technique. Because the new you technique gets a lot of attention now because the public out there, people who are just really are sick and tired of their life, right? They're really bored, they're burnt out, they don't like their family, they don't like their job, they don't like anything, okay? And they're stuck. They really feel that they cannot get out of the situation. So, or sometimes people have, maybe they lost an arm, they have a medical disorder, or maybe they have a criminal record. There's all kinds of problems people have that they can't change. They can't upgrade, okay? Right. They're stuck with it, okay? Well, switch tracks. And that's where new you technique comes in. So what happens when you switch tracks? So let me talk about that for a moment. So let's say you're watching a television show Okay, so let's say you're watching your NBC affiliate, whatever that is, okay? And maybe millions of people are watching that show. So now one of your friends, your BFFs, whatever, call you up and say, hey, you got to switch to ABC. This is a show that you really like. So you take your little remote. Remember, television signal is electromagnetic radiation, identical to the soul, or a computer signal, or a cell phone. All electromagnetic radiation. That's hard science. So now you switch channels. So what happens to the NBC show? Does it disappear into a black hole? No. Millions of people are watching it. You are not. You have switched channels. So when you go into a parallel universe and you switch, and I train people to actually switch, as I did myself, the other universe lives go on. You're just not aware of it. You may die on a parallel universe, but not be dead on the other one that you're on. Fine. No problem. One has nothing to do with the other. So that's where I call this psychic empowerment. You're not manipulating the universe. This is not black magic. If the universe wouldn't allow it, I couldn't be able to do that. This is my technique that I discovered many years ago. I don't know anyone in the world that does this, switching parallel universes. And therefore, it's a great technique. I've done it myself. I've done it with thousands of patients. And to me, it gives people a new lease on life rather than suffering or suicide. And I definitely don't recommend suicide. But I don't recommend suffering either. There's no benefit to suffer. Because if you're going to suffer in this life, okay, switch universes. Let the other one, the clone of you, suffer, if that's going to happen. But why should you be so distracted? Now, there's only one higher self, but there are subsouls. Every parallel universe has a different soul. It's still part of the main higher self, but they have different futures, okay? So your soul on parallel universe number 3 is going to be different in its spiritual growth than the one on parallel universe number 2 or 4 or 5, okay? There are 5 major frequencies, by the way. Each one has an unlimited number of subsets, but you only have to do the 5. You don't have to do a gazillion, okay? So that's what I call my new you technique. I document that in my Custom Design Your Own Destiny book, as well as the Exploring the Fifth Dimension book.
I want to ask this question, and real quick, and also I want to acknowledge Angela in the chat room, because we've got people in our YouTube chat room saying, but she said she heard you for the first time on Art Bell in the 90s, and she says it was because of you, this brilliant man, she called you, that helped her get in to become a hypnotherapist. So there you go. Sounds like what you're doing is making a difference.
She was motivated by my appearances on Art Bell Show in the Coast to Coast in the 90s to go into the field.
Yeah, she said she heard you in the 90s and that inspired her.
She's a woman of extraordinary taste.
On that note, let's go to the next one. I'm just kidding.
I'm not trying to be ego thing. I don't know who this person is, but let me tell you something. God bless you. I'm glad that you were motivated. That is one of my karmic purposes, is to educate people. In fact, recently, if they go on my site, when I do my webinars, I did a webinar last month on training people to use hypnosis and actually like a certification program. That is recorded. And even though that webinar was last month, they can go there and order it and actually go through the complete training. So I do train people. You don't have to be a doctor or a therapist or a psychologist or a social worker or MFT. You can be a lay person.
That's great.
You can be a webcam host. You can be anything and right. Be trained to do this. So I really appreciate that woman. I don't know who she is, but thank God for your ability. I'm glad that you are enjoying the field, and we could use more people like you, because this field needs good quality hypnotherapy. Trust me.
And thank you, Angela, for asking or not asking, but telling that testimony there.
Did you say her name was Angela? Was
Angela, right? Yes, correct.
Well, it's like Angel.
Right? Oh, nice. Well, we have about 8 minutes left, but I do want to ask this question. Then I want to kind of see if Colby has anything else, and then I want to see if you can give us some tips. But so in the Exploring the Fifth Dimension, when we're talking about out of body, have you noticed, and Colby, you can even tap into this one too, but have you noticed with people, it's like a near-death experience, where a lot of people have near-death experiences, their psychic ability is enhanced or is awakened.
Right.
They go
through an epiphany like I did, except mine was a brush with death. Mine wasn't a near-death experience.
Right.
When you clinically die for 2 or 3 or 4 minutes, and they can measure that on an electroencephalograph,
right,
they almost always, if you read my dear friend Ray Moody's book, the original book, Life After Life,
right,
he's a good friend of mine. He's a psychiatrist now, of course. You get these people that have this epiphany where their life changes. Maybe somebody was a hard-nosed, bigoted, racist, or just a good old boy that thinks that this is all woo-woo stuff. Right, and all of a sudden, they become somebody who listens to me on Coast to Coast or webinars, okay? So you can get to a spiritual epiphany by having the – but fortunately, you don't have to have a near-death experience.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Can outer body going through with hypnotherapy,
let me explain. There are three kinds of outer body experience very quickly.
Right, okay.
Near-death experience gets most of the attention, but believe me, you don't want to do that. You don't want to clinically die. Okay? Not a good concept. We call that the flatlining approach, okay? Not good. Then there's the regular out-of-body experience, which you do every night when you're dreaming. You're out of the body, I can tell you that. And then there's a technique I developed many years ago called the conscious out-of-body experience, where I'm training my patients. This is an ascension technique. I'm training my patients to connect with the higher self at the moment of clinical death. And therefore, you can avoid the lower astral plane and then go to the soul plane and eventually either ascend or stay around as a spirit guide. So it's an ascension training aspect. So that's called the COBE. That's the third one, which most people don't know about unless they're familiar with my work or the mystery schools or some of the esoteric literature.
All right. Well, so how would you give people tips of, you know, if they can't do hypnotherapy with you or have the money to do it with a trained specialist, how can they do this at home?
Very simple. First of all, 95% of my patients are done online. So I do Skype, Zoom, FaceTime. They can see me online. They don't have to leave their abode, number one. Number two is if they can't afford that, then they can order my CDs and they can do this themselves. Mm-hmm. Okay. Or they can use hypnosis in a car, and that's called auto hypnosis. That's a joke. Okay.
And Colby, as a psychic, how do you feel that somebody can tap into their psychic abilities? Like I said, you know, if they don't have the money to go to your classes and or talk to a psychic or go see Dr. Bruce, how do you suggest people start tapping into that?
Well, I think what's fabulous is Dr. Bruce mentioned he wrote a book, right? Dr. Bruce, helping people tap into their psychic awareness.
Well, Unleash Your Psychic Powers. It's a book.
Yeah,
right in the center.
Perfect. So I think that might be a great resource to help us.
There's also a CD that's called, I have an Unleash Your Psychic Power CD, which goes through several exercises, everything from reading auras, telepathy experiences, accessing past and future situations, of course. So yes, that is something that, remember, we all have psychic gifts. We call them gifts. The question is, society tends to disavow that. And that's why people have a tendency to lose their ability. If you deal with a child between the ages of 2 and 5, they're unbelievably psychic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you ask a kid between 2 and 5, a child, if you say, what was it like when you were big? Don't be surprised if they tell you about a past life. A real life. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, when you get to be 5 or 6 years old, now you're in school, first grade. The teacher said, no, don't do that, Johnny. That's weird. Pay attention or we're going to give you detention. You know. So society tends to, you might say, admonish us on our psychic abilities.
Right.
But again, just like anything else, you can get them back. So the Unleash Your Psychic Powers book is actually it's a really cool book. I really like it. It's very simple, exercises. Crystal gazing is in there, using candles, all kinds of stuff. It's really fun. And anybody can do this. It doesn't take a lot of background. If you've never done anything in this field at all and don't have the vocabulary, I define everything nicely. And a lot of illustrations are in the book. And anyone could do it. So I appreciate that. It's sort of like my Colby book.
There you go. It's a perfect resource.
And so Dr. Bruce Goldberg, you can go to his website, drbrucegoldberg.com. You can go to Amazon, but we'd prefer you to go to drbrucegoldberg.com and mention Truth Be Told. And he'll give you once again.
Well, you get the Exploring the Fifth Dimension book. They order from the site, and they mention this webinar, interview, then they get a free a fifth dimensional CD. There are several of my other books that they get from my site, like Custom Design Your Own Destiny by Parallel Universes, which also comes in a free CD. So there are several of my books that come with CDs that they can get, and they can do this themselves, because I believe in psychic empowerment, train people to be independent of me, and that includes my patients. My therapy is always short-term, self-directed, doesn't take many sessions, and again, I do these things online mostly anyway. So I always like people to, my patients and the public, whoever is interested in my work, to go on with themselves, to expand themselves. And by the way, one last thing.
Sure.
Next February, I will be in Laughlin, Nevada at a UFO conference doing experiential workshop on taking people into past and future lives. And all the information is on my homepage.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Perfect.
And so, Colby, tell us everything you're doing, and let them go to your website, ColbyRebel.com.
Oh, they'll know where to find it, ColbyRebel.com. But this has been fascinating, Dr. Bruce. I mean, it's really nice to hear you talk and really nice to hear you explain in really simple terms, you know, how these many lives work, these parallel lives. And I love this idea that we can change our future life in a way if we're not fully fulfilled in our current existence. So that's brilliant.
Empowerment. And by the way, it's a pleasure meeting you. You are a truly beautiful soul, and this has been a pleasure. And
Thank you.
I really enjoyed this conversation. And the same thing, Tony. I hope that your audience is educated. Like I say, they're more than welcome to contact me and take it from there.
And we encourage that. DrBruceGoldberg.com. Please contact him if you need a session, books, whatever you need, just techniques. I'm sure he can help you out. And once again, this is Truth Be Told. I'm Tony Sweet. Colby, thank you so much for guest hosting today. We love having you on the show. You're going to be back. I know you are. But thank you for doing that. Colby Rebel also has her own show on Thursdays. Tell us real quick, on Thursdays at 5 o'clock Pacific time.
Yeah, just the Colby Rebel Show, where we bring on the trailblazers and do readings on air and all come together.
Wonderful. And thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Please subscribe. Find us on all the podcast outlets and please share this show. And we appreciate you. And leave a comment. If you don't want to leave a comment, that's okay. But we just appreciate you joining us today. So until next time, I'm out of here. Talk to you soon. Bye.